This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Thanks for watching the program today on YouTube TV, listening SiriusXM channel 158, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our affiliates across the country. Busy hour coming up. The Meat Man Steve Wiss, Best Bets in Soccer, our in-pocket plays 45 minutes from right now. And we begin the hour by going out to the Progressive Guest Line. Our buddy, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian, joins the program. Hey, Charch, good to talk to you, my man. How are you?
I'm delighted that we have had that much time away from each other. Yeah. I was getting a little twitchy because I hadn't had my Mitch and Pauly in like 3-4 weeks. And so it feels good. Feels natural.
It does. It feels really nice right now.
Good timing.
Where do the Minnesota Vikings stand as we speak with quarterback J.J. McCarthy?
The belief is that they can no longer put faith in McCarthy to develop and that they have to have a far better plan of action and presumably a new starter for next year. That doesn't mean I don't believe that they're going to go full Trey Lance on J.J. McCarthy. I don't think they're going to pull the ripcord and just call it a disaster and ship him off. I do believe that he will be on roster, but the likelihood of being the starter right now for next season seems very low. The team has openly said they're looking at every available quarterback option. You know, they're saying the things you never say out loud if you've got a presumed starter already on your roster. And everything I'm hearing is that they're going to give McCarthy more time to bake as a backup, reevaluate where they are a year from now. Somebody else will be the starter this coming season.
Okay, so you've been on KFan. You've been talking to the fans, and you know people in the organization. You also had the timing the other day with Kyler Murray. Let's start with Kyler Murray. Yes, can it happen?
Well, it can happen. I mean, the case for Kyler Murray is, I'm going to give you a couple of bullet points. Mitch and Pauly. During Kyler Murray's seven-year Arizona tenure, he missed 30 games for the Cardinals. Would you care to guess how many wins the Cardinals had in those 30 non-Kyler Murray starts?
Six.
Pauly?
11.
Five.
Oh, boy.
I mean, and what that suggests is that it wasn't all on Kyler Murray. I mean, the Cardinals are a broken organization. It's possible that nobody was going to succeed over these 7 years that Kyler Murray was there. And reportedly, he really wants to play for the Vikings. Vikings are his top choice for Kyler Murray. And it makes sense. You get Kevin O'Connell. You get Justin Jefferson. There's a lot of reasons to come to Minnesota. And not a lot of pressure from J.J. McCarthy in all probability. There could, you know, and you know, you can see a reclamation project for Kyler Murray. You take a one-year prove-it deal, just like Sam Darnold did. You have an explosive season and a far better offense and a better organization, and good things would happen for Kyler Murray. The case against Murray goes like this. Jacoby Brissett was way better in the Cardinals' offense this year. He averaged 90 more passing yards per game and almost a full passing touchdown per game, more than Kyler Murray, and that's Jacoby Brissett, a career journeyman. Michael Wilson exploded with Brissett, not Kyler Murray. And the other thing about Murray that worries me a little bit, dude's been surrounded by good receiving talent.
Yes.
Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, Zach Ertz, Marquise Brown, Christian Kirk, Marvin Harrison Jr. You know, it's not like he can just go, well, I didn't have anybody to throw to for 7 years. He did, and Murray just doesn't feel like a winner. But Sam Darnold didn't feel like a winner either, and he led to 14 wins. If I had to pick one guy right now to land on the Vikings, it would be Kyler Murray.
What's the response of the fans been to Kirk Cousins' talk?
Well, not great. I mean, you know, most of the fan base was happy to see him go. They made the right decision coming off that Achilles injury, even though, as I like to remind people, because I was a Kirk jerk, when Kirk Cousins went down with that Achilles injury, he was leading the NFL in passing yards, and he was tied for second in passing touchdowns. I mean, he was playing great. Then the Achilles happens, goes to Atlanta. Michael Penix takes over midseason, had a bad year. Then Kirk, of course, looked, I thought, better this year. But here's where Kirk, this is why you can't go in on Kirk and why I don't think the Vikings should do it. The arm's dead. The arm is just not the same. Let me give you some deep ball, one deep ball passing stat. On passes last year of more than 20 yards, Kirk Cousins completed 28%, second lowest in the league. Just the arm strength is just not there for Kirk Cousins, and I don't think it's coming back at now at his advanced age. So I do not believe we're going to see a reunion in Minnesota. Minnesota.
Do you like the idea, and is there anything to this potential trade with the 49ers to get Mac Jones?
Yes, there is something there. Now, fascinating, the Vikings' last general manager, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who was the Vikings general manager for 4 years, he's now in the San Francisco front office. So if part of the Vikings need to engineer a trade for Mac Jones, they're going to be doing it with his replacement general manager, interim of general manager for the Vikings, Rob Brzezinski, trying to negotiate in part with Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who just was the Vikings general manager, and put them in a position where they have to go look at a guy like Mac Jones. You know, I don't have to tell your astute viewers and listeners, Mac Jones played shockingly well when surrounded by all of the things that you get with the Kyle Shanahan system. And the hope here would be that he could perform at a similar level with Kevin O'Connell. Dude was an absolute baller, gamer, played very, very well for the 49ers. And, you know, it might just be that he was a guy that needed the right system and needed some time. And, mm-hmm. you know, he'll be a viable option for teams that are looking for help. And the Vikings will be interested here.
Could they trade for C.J. Stroud?
Well, this is a little off radar, right? I mean, if Houston is willing to move Stroud, if they're willing to move Stroud, it's kind of a condemnation by itself of Stroud. If, you know, Houston knows him better than anybody, if they're willing to move him, but I would be very interested. You know, Stroud's play, his rookie year was one of the best rookie years we've ever seen. The 2 years since then for C.J. Stroud, he's had terrible offensive lines that have gotten him killed. So I think there's a lot of things that have to come together before you could get C.J. Stroud. And I don't know where Houston would go for a quarterback. Then they'd be looking at all the same thing the Vikings are. I don't see it as likely, but man, if I were the Vikings, that'd be pretty tantalizing given what C.J. Stroud has accomplished.
It's a pipe dream for this team to go out there and acquire Joe Burrow via trade, is it not?
I can't imagine it would happen. It would take so much equity, but I mean, and if they could, yeah. God, that'd be amazing. But I know there's talk about that, but I think that's mostly fan talk.
What's this car out of retirement for the right place, the right situation?
Well, I think that's a possibility. In your uh-huh. case for Carr, it looks like this: terrible organization for his entire career with the Raiders. Then he goes to the Saints when they were really at a dip and a nadir of their abilities post Peyton. You know, you can put him in the right situation and feel like he could be much better. You worry a little bit about anybody that's been away from the game as long as he has. But, you know, he had some good seasons. He was just, you just don't feel like Derek Carr was ever a winner who could will his team to victories. But, you know, you're the Vikings. You're looking under every rock. And unfortunately, he's got to be somebody you consider as well.
All right. All right. Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. What did you make of the Montgomery trade to Houston and what that means for Gibbs?
Well, first of all, good for the Lions, you know, for managing to wring some trade value out of David Montgomery, 29 years old at this point. And when you're, you know, he's right at that cliff of competency of where running backs really fall off. And Montgomery was quasi-benched for the second half of the season. You know, I still think Montgomery's a pretty good player. Goes to Houston now, where he's going to be part of a 1-2 punch there, and much like what they had with the Lions. I feel like if you're Houston, why are you trading for a guy that you knew was on the outs with the Lions, who may very well have just been a cap casualty? Mm-hmm. I don't know why you had to give up any equity, let alone a fourth round pick to get David Montgomery. Brad Holmes is a great general manager. He's one of the three best general managers in the league, and kudos to them on this move. I still like David Montgomery, but if you can get real value, like a fourth round pick for your second running back, that's, you know, and a guy you might cut anyway. I mean, what a great move. Brad Holmes is fantastic.
You called your shot in the summertime with us on this show, and your favorite prop was JSN to go over his receiving yards. Do you want to call your shot right now? Does Jahmyr Gibbs win Offensive Player of the Year?
Well, let's see who they team him up with. Right now, for Jahmyr Gibbs, as like, you know, the workhorse back on a Lions offense, I'm really interested. You can make a case right now that Jahmyr Gibbs should be the first player taken in fantasy drafts today. You know, right now. And by the way, people are drafting right now. It's happening all the time in best ball leagues. This is, you know, the hardcores are drafting now, yep. Well in advance of everybody else. And by the way, this is how you win big tournaments, is you get, you know, you're way ahead of everybody else. Drafting now makes a ton of sense. you know, if Gibbs is going to be the singular focus at the running back position, he's going to get 70% of the snaps. Man, you know, we're talking about already one of the most gifted players in the league. And if he's going to get all the goal line work that was going to Montgomery when they had a split role near inside the five, you know, you don't have any threat from your quarterback in Detroit stealing touchdowns. I mean, Gibbs could be sitting on a 20 touchdown season. It would not be out of consideration, you know, but you know, we'll see how the offseason and the draft lands. I suspect they'll put somebody else to get hard yards to replace David Montgomery. But based on where we are right now today, not knowing, that's Jahmyr Gibbs is looks like an absolute fantasy force.
Yeah. Okay. How about a minute left? What'd you think of DJ Moore to the Bills?
Love it for both teams. This is one of the rare times you feel like everybody wins. So, you know, the Bills are just trying to keep that window open. They need receiver help. They've proven they can't draft it. They haven't been able to acquire it in trade. They haven't been able to sign the right free agent. So you go get a guy who's a proven contributor, somebody that's still very good for DJ Moore. But I think the real story here is the Bears get a second rounder. Mm-hmm. They get out of $40 million in guaranteed money for a 29-year-old receiver, and they can do it because they've drafted so well. Rome Odunze, Luther Burden, Colston Loveland now get freed up, right? You got all these new targets. They hit on all three of the draft. They all look fantastic, and now you've got that many more balls to go around with the DJ Moore out and now him in Buffalo. Those three guys are just going to feast, and it's a great move for both teams.
Yeah, love it. I really love it for the Bears. Follow him on X at Paul Charchian. Good to catch up, my man. Well, we'll talk soon again, okay?
Thanks, friends.
Thank you, buddy.
He was on the Progressive Guest Line. I have updated odds for 15 teams on the bubble to make the tournament. Uh-oh, big move on Miami.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
3:06 to go, Missouri Valley. Media timeout here. Drake now leading 61-58. They're a 3.5-point favorite. And the total here is 134.5. It has been trending low 130s pretty much the entire game after it closed at 141 in that game. And in the MAAC, Iona, Sacred Heart underway, 12-10. This total was about 146.5, and the projection sites, including Greg Peterson here at VSiN, they pegged this game in the 150s, Paulie. Okay, so you're holding a ticket on Miami of Ohio to miss the tournament. What'd you grab, plus 320?
Yep.
On that one? An offshore sports book just updated their numbers on 15 different teams to make or miss. They now have Miami as an $8 favorite to make it. 5-1 to miss now. And they play tomorrow night to close up the regular season on the road against Ohio. What's that number now?
5.5. Available FanDuel DraftKings. Yes. I think they win tomorrow. That's it. There's no discussion.
Yeah, it has to be.
No, right. Like Pat Forty had a great article on this, Sports Illustrated. What are we doing here? I mean, you're doing every single game. Plus, you know, the message you're sending to every mid-major out there about how your regular season's irrelevant. So... And I'm with the Miami AD, too, that he can't believe this is even a discussion and how it blew up with Bruce Pearl. And he brings up a good point. Who exactly wants to see 12th and 13th place teams?
Nobody does.
So he's exactly right with that, too. So win tomorrow, be a great story, complete it, and then also gives us an opportunity to take Akron in the championship game, probably laying a small number. Richie B. from Circa makes it 3.
So they are currently at Bracket Matrix. That's a website that... they combine like more than 100 people who do the bracketology, and the average seed line for Miami of Ohio is 10.62, but it rounds up basically to 11. So they're currently on the 11 line as we speak. I would say don't lose tomorrow, though, right?
Right.
Win that game.
Don't give them a reason.
No, absolutely. You can't do that. Auburn is minus 230 to miss. they are on the outside looking in big time right now. Lunardi has them out in the bracket matrix right now. They're a team called an other at large, and not many people even have them in at all.
They are getting help that everyone's been losing, but the thing that's going to hurt them is there's probably going to be bid thieves. And I would expect the bubble to shrink because I think there will be a couple bid thieves. So that will hurt all these teams. And he has New Mexico, even though they lost last night, as an 8.5-point favorite at home. He still has them last team in.
Here, let me look at bracket matrix right now on New Mexico. They're included, by the way. They're on the 11 line right now at bracket matrix. They are, Paulie, they're at an offshore book, they are minus 220 to miss.
That's what they are, DraftKings.
Yeah, New Mexico's plus 180 to make it.
Yep.
How are they in right now?
They have to go to Utah State Saturday, too.
I guess with that win, that would, I mean.
Well, they lost by 20 at home to them, though.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's, you're probably going to have to get to at least to the conference tournament final out here, too. And that might not be enough because, again, the bit these, that's what Tim Murray's case was, too, about why he's anti-Santa Clara. Number one, they've only had three bids once in the last 13 years, but he's also pointing out bid thieves. Oh, and you got to beat St. Mary's in the semis if you make it, which I think they will, and they'll play Monday night. The yes is $1.20 at DraftKings.
I'll give you one. SMU, after getting, they were never really in that game last night against Miami. That was a losing bet for me. They are absolutely a bubble team right now, and they are on the 11 line at bracket matrix. They're minus 250 to get in. You can grab 2-1 basically on them to miss. That might be the one that's worth a shot at this point.
Yeah.
They are no lock. Where does Lunardi have them? They can't be a lock to get in at this point, can they? So taking a flyer at plus 195 or 2-1?
He had them last four in.
Yeah, I that might be worth it, though.
I think they came down after they were their last four buys, and then they lost. Last four in Santa Clara, Ohio State, Indiana, New Mexico.
Well, you wanna lay it or maybe parlay some of these teams? How does TCU not make the tournament now?
Right. Yep.
They're $7 and right. A&M's $8. A&M, they're not in?
They are.
I would say that they have to be at this point. Yeah.
Yes. Indiana's a tough call. And Cincinnati's a tough call. And sure. I think Santa Clara is going to be a tough call. But that goes back to how many upsets we'll have in the conference tournaments.
Santa Clara is $1.20 each way.
Yep. VCU's got a strong case, I think. Even though they're 1-5 in quad one games, he has them last team out right now, Lunardi.
Yes, and they plus 125.
They play Dayton tomorrow, and they're a one-point underdog. If they beat Dayton and make the A-10 final, and they lose to St. Louis, I think that'll be enough, and they could sneak in.
The Natty is minus 325 to miss. By the way, I brought up A&M.
Ew.
How good of a quote is this? Bucky Ball, their head coach, Bucky McMillan, after the win against Kentucky the other night, quote, "I'm not coaching basketball afraid of my own shadow. Basketball is a war. We pick people up 94 feet because the court is 94 feet, not 40 feet. We play to live. We don't play not to die." End of quote. It's a pretty awesome soundbite from him. And I love that. And it goes back to when I was a young kid, not even in high school yet, when Pitino took over at Kentucky. I had never seen anything like that in my life, where it was a full court press. You're subbing guys in and out, and you're shooting. Back then, this is now, what, 36 years ago? You're shooting a ton of threes. I was absolutely blown away with what I watched on TV, and I instantly became a huge fan of Rick Pitino. And my brother was a Kentucky fan anyway, because they were always on national TV when, I don't even remember this because I was too young, but he's a little bit older than I am, and he would watch him play. So I was also very impressionable, and whatever my older brothers would like, I would tend to like as well. And I'm like, oh, this is easy. I love this team. And I love that style of basketball. So that's a very cool soundbite to hear from a coach say that.
Have a lot of NBA news here. Flagg is back. He's going to play 20 to 25 minutes.
He is, okay.
Trae Young is back. I don't know why. He's going to play 17 to 20 minutes. Williams is out for Dallas. Thompson's going to play. And Marshall's in. Ant's questionable. Zion's questionable. Ingram's questionable. And a ton of other guys are also questionable tonight. We're getting ready to tip with some of these games coming up soon.
At some point, these books are going to take the Missouri Valley game off the board. Certainly the total is going to be off, and it looks like that number has just come off the board right now. And we have a Drake lead of 4 points, 65-61, about a minute left.
All right, you got to fade the fouls here now.
You certainly do. And the last thing underbettors want, obviously, would be overtime. Yeah. And Drake, the number just went out, so it went off the board right now. And these sports books are going to be a little bit ahead of us as well.
What's the money line? I got 2,500.
I got it locked up.
Probably got to stop then. Got that.
10-1, 11-1 right now in Southern Illinois. Okay. And James Madison is out to a 22-18 lead against Southern Miss. Again, they played last night. They won. Adam Burke came on earlier and explained why he liked them at -1.5. Good start here. They're a live favorite of 5.5 points in the game.
Well, good job. They put the total up at DK, 129.5.
120, okay.
All right, good job.
Okay, let's get the next two games now.
That's impressive. There's 30 seconds left.
Yeah, they
typically... That's a hell of a job. Put that up.
We got Indiana State Valpo coming up. Current total, 141. That's at 7 o'clock Eastern time. 9:30 Eastern, obviously same gym here. Evansville, Northern Iowa. That current total is 127. If this game... If the winning ticket here is under, that's going to be 11 straight?
Yep. 11 straight. 18-5 last 2 years. And the number two conference since 2015 behind the Metro Atlantic for unders.
The second half total was 75. We have 68 combined right now. Well, make that 70 now. There's a basket and there's going to be a timeout. Oh yeah, this is going to be a free. This is going to be a fun one. This is going to turn into a sweat all of a sudden.
Is it Drake Ball?
Yeah, because they just scored, right? The Salukis just scored.
Okay, Drake Ball, 24 seconds.
Yeah, so immediate foul.
Well, you got the total up. I'm with you. We got 131 up.
131.
I foul. I make my free throws. They're going to lay it in.
Oh, it might.
How do you not take the over?
Yeah, you
right
might want
now
to go over right now. I don't have access to the over, but
it's 131.5 at DK. How do you not take the over?
They need 4 points. They're going to get an immediate foul right now, unless Drake. But even if Drake misses their free throws, there's going to be the chance for overtime then.
Good job. They got a money line up, too.
That's at DK?
Yeah, 8 minus 850. You can take +520 with the dog. If you're betting on MLB, don't step up to the plate unprepared. VSiN MLB Betting Guide is your playbook for the entire season, previews for every team, MVP, Cy Young Awards analysis, a complete stats glossary and key terms to know, expert betting insight from the VSiN Pro team, plus the player perspective from former pitcher Jensen Lewis. Download the guide right now, just $19.99, or become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Get the guide included along with every best bet, every host, every guest, the betting splits, AI-powered prop tools, and the 24/7 video on the Watch app. VSiN.com/guide. VSiN.com/guide.
Yeah, it took about 3 seconds to foul, but eventually, boy, oh boy, that kid almost ran the whole court. He did run the entire court before he was fouled. Anyway, Steve Witz on the program coming up next. We'll get his best bets in soccer for the weekend here on VSiN. Drake pulls the outright upset in the Valley, 67-63. Total stays under by 11 points, Paulie, and make that 11 straight games to the under in this tournament. Two more games coming up later on tonight. The Meat Man joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line, Steve Wiss, Because We Win podcast, and also the Betting Weekly Studios, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. We had Paul, go ahead. You're fired up over what happened today in the Prem.
So Tottenham scored the first goal, and then they allowed three in a row. They got beat at home. Fans were leaving in the first half. They are now only 1 point clear of safety, Meat Man. Put this in perspective for us, as they are now tied at DraftKings with West Ham +160 to be relegated.
Yeah. Hello, guys. Absolutely incredible. Tottenham Hotspur. If they got relegated, it would be the biggest relegation story ever in Premier League history. They are now the joint third favourites to be relegated from the Premier League. It was a crazy match tonight. It started with VAR disallowing a Crystal Palace goal. Someone was offside by his nose, by a nose. So, and then Spurs led, but got a red card. And then Palace scored three quick goals. everyone, all the home fans left at halftime. Terrible atmosphere, toxic. Tottenham Hotspur in trouble. Already reports possibly they might even fire their manager before the next match. He's only been in charge for 3 games.
So what do you, who do you think joins Wolverhampton and Burnley then? Do you think Tottenham will be relegated?
I still can't quite believe it in my head that this could happen. This is just such a mind-boggling thing. They're playing the worst soccer of any team down there, apart from Burnley. That's what I will say right now. So based on form and current performances, it would have to be Spurs. But I keep thinking they'll somehow turn it around. But maybe I'm just a bit biased there through history. I don't know.
Okay, plus 160. West Ham plus 160, as I mentioned. Nottingham Forest plus 275. FA Cup Friday. Let's go Wolves and Liverpool. They just shocked them in the Premier League 6-1. Upset. How about goals in this one? Take us through Wolves and Liverpool Friday, meat man.
Yeah, I actually backed over 3.5 goals in the last round of the FA Cup with Liverpool against Brighton, and it was 3-0 after an hour, and it stayed 3-0 frustratingly. But I think it's worth a go here. Over 3.5 goals at plus 140. You just mentioned that Wolves beat Liverpool in the Premier League a few days ago. I think that's going to get a response from Liverpool. They're going to be really frustrated by that defeat. They had nearly 20 shots in the game. 7 on target. They had 11 corners. Any other day, they probably would have won easily. So I think Liverpool will want to get revenge. They'll be motivated. They are much the better team, but Wolves are playing far, far better than they were early this season. They're playing to the level of a mid-table Premier League team, so they can maybe contribute. In a cup match, I think we could get a high-scoring thriller for Friday night.
Okay, then what about on Saturday? You're going to get creative here, I think, right? In the Newcastle-Man City match, what's the approach here?
Yeah, I've got a good feeling Newcastle will qualify because Manchester City, I think they're running on fumes a bit. They just drew against Nottingham Forest at home, which is a really, really poor result. Their defence seems a little bit unreliable. They've got a massive Champions League match against Real Madrid coming up in a few days' time. And Manchester City can actually still win the quadruple just like Arsenal can. But I don't think they've got the squad depth they used to have. This is not the Manchester City of a few years ago. Newcastle, I think the rest of the season is really all about the FA Cup for them. They're not going to qualify for Europe from the league. They're probably not going to win the Champions League. So this match means a lot to Newcastle. They're at home. The crowd are going to be right behind them. And I think Manchester City could be in for a shock here. Newcastle to qualify plus 125. Maybe they might need extra time and penalties, but I think they are worth a good dough. I think they're a good underdog on the card this weekend, Newcastle United.
English FA Cup Sunday, Port Vale and Sunderland. Who do you like here?
Under. I like the under 2.5 goals in this game. Port Vale's pitch is an absolute disgrace. It's one of the worst pitches in English soccer right now. Yeah, there's not enough grass on it, really. There's too much mud. The bounce of the ball is terrible. Think of it like a sort of end-of-season turf pitch in the NFL. You know what they get like? Horrible-looking thing. So I don't think you can play proper soccer on this pitch. Port Vale, Sunderland. Sunderland have only scored 8 away goals in the Premier League this season. They won away from home against Oxford in the last round 1-0. Port Vale have had 3 1-0 wins in the FA Cup at home to get to this stage. I think we're going to get a pretty poor game, actually. Maybe Sunderland might sneak it 1-0. I'm just not seeing many goals because the pitch is not going to allow it. A friend of mine, a Luton fan, was there last week. He described it as a pitch not even fit for a cow to graze on. There was hardly any grass. Yeah, terrible pitch, this. So you can get even money nearly on under 2.5 goals here. I think that's a really good chance of cashing.
All right. Great explanation and breakdown. One more Sunday. You're giving us a double? Giving us a parlay with Leeds and Norwich City?
Yeah, over 2.5 goals in both matches. I just think there's a really good chance of exactly 3 goals in both of these. So I don't want to play any higher goal lines. But both, all 4 teams involved have, in the 2 previous rounds of the FA Cup, their respective fixtures have gone over 2.5 goals. Both teams score, yes. In the terms of Leeds and Norwich, I think it's a cup match is a nice distraction from the pressures of the league. The shackles are off, as we say over here. So I think both teams will go at it. Norwich are in good form, so they'll be confident. And I think Leeds will be really pleased not to be involved in this relegation battle, which is stressing out all the fans and everything. And then Fulham, Southampton. I mean, Southampton, I mentioned them last week. They are starting to really fire. They've scored a lot of goals recently, Southampton. It's 15 goals in 5 games for them. And Fulham, 7 of their last 8 matches have gone over 2.5 goals. So nice double there. Plus 150 on both matches. to contain over 2.5 goals.
Yep. English Championship League, the league below the Premier League Saturday. We have to do this again, right? We got to play against Sheffield Wednesday. Lost 12 in a row, only have 9 of them to nil, haven't scored, and only one win on the season. How are you going to attack Derby County?
Same thing again. I think we've got to attack this -1.5 handicap on Derby. Sheffield Wednesday, like you say, 12 losses in a row, 7 of those by 2 goals or more. Derby beat them 3-0 away from home in December. And Derby, their last 3 wins have been by a 2-goal margin or more. And they're fighting for the playoffs as well. They need to get the win to get in the playoffs, a bit similar to Southampton last week, where a good goal difference would help them. So there's no real... I mean, obviously, you want to win the match first and foremost, but if they could get a big score and rack up a big win, then it would really help Derby County. And Sheffield Wednesday, they just are gone, fallen force. And, you know, it's about respectability, I suppose. But everyone keeps bashing them up poorly. So, you know, if the handicap's 2.5, okay, maybe we don't get involved. But it's -1.5 still. Yes. So we've got to keep betting on it, haven't we?
You got it, no doubt. How about one AC Milan over in La Liga?
Yeah, I'll give you this. In Italy, Serie A, the two top teams meet. Yep. And this is a really spicy game at one of the most famous stadiums in the whole of soccer, San Siro. It's getting demolished in a few years' time. So if you want to visit there, go in the next 2 or 3 years. But I really like over 2.5 goals. Two teams absolutely hate each other. Massive rivalry. And AC Milan have to win. It's as simple as that. If they've got any chance of winning this title, they have to beat Inter here, which means we're going to get a really open game. Inter score a lot of goals. They scored 20 goals in their last 6 league games. So they've got more than enough firepower to take advantage if it's an open game. So I think we could see a crazy score, actually, something like 3-2 either way. Not sure who's going to win it. It'd be nice to see AC Milan win it to keep the title race alive. But I couldn't believe you could get nearly even money on over 2.5 goals here. I make this about -150.
Hey, Steve, is our buddy Nigel Seeley doing all right? I know that he was in Dubai when everything happened over the weekend. And I think this week, is he still stuck there?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, he's still out there, unfortunately. You know, it's going to be difficult for him to get back home at this moment. But all we can do is just hope he gets on one of these flights as soon as possible back to the UK. It's it's obviously a very difficult situation for anyone stuck out there at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't really want to bother him and reach out and say, hey, buddy, everything okay when you're going through that? So, okay, thanks for the update. And obviously, we hope that everything's going to be okay with him as well, trying to get back home. Meat Man, we love talking to you. Great analysis as always. Thanks so much for the time. Best of luck this week.
Thanks, guys. I'll pass down to Nigel if I can. You take care, and I'll see you next time.
Sounds good. There you go. Follow him on X. Appreciate at Meatman Soccer, Because We Win podcasts, and also the Because Betting Weekly Studios as well.
Cows can't even graze on it.
That was a good line.
Bad. Yeah. This Tottenham thing's crazy. Oh, man.
See, we have to have relegation in American sports.
Yep. I got to hear from Tottenham supporters. I mean, this is diabolical. To be sent down?
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine?
What was the number before the season started?
Oh, no idea. I'm sure sky high. This is now, they're tied with West Ham now. +160, as he mentioned. So 11 straight unders in the Missouri Valley. That total was 143, bet down to 135, and closed, came back up to 141. 67-63. Indiana State Valpo ready to go was 142.5. It got down to 136. It's back up to 141. Evansville, Northern Iowa, open 133. It's down to 126.5. It hasn't moved for a couple hours. Jimmy Crack Corn, I don't care, but they keep coming in with these unders. Yep. That is 17-18-5 the last 2 years of the Valley Tournament.
Crazy. First half as well?
Yeah, that's probably a better way to attack it, because you don't have to worry about the nonsense at the end with the fouls.
Right. It did get hairy there at the end.
It did. They missed some free throws, and certainly they score. It goes to overtime, too.
Yep. All right, we're going to get to our best bets coming up next. We'll recap last night's action, tell you what we've added to the old portfolio with in-pocket plays on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. take it.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
All right. The tanking parlay hit again. Got a little hairy there with the Sixers, who were down 6 in the fourth quarter. But rest assured, Utah turned it over, and that hit. Fordham couldn't get there. An entertaining game against LaSalle. LaSalle, who's been awful all year, came up with the win. And Chet Holmgren, for the first time since mid-January, scored 20 points in a game. He was awesome and had 4 threes right away and flew over his points.
Honestly, Paul, you just have to laugh. He had 14 in the first quarter.
Yeah. He was taking a ton of threes.
Total blip on the radar.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Ohio tomorrow, +5.5 against Miami of Ohio. And the parlay tonight going against the tanking teams. And again, the bottom 10 teams have combined to lose 44 in a row. Magic money line, Heat money line, Suns money line pays $1.50. You want to throw Houston in there, even though the Warriors aren't tanking, but putting out that dreadful team, won't put you off it. And it's got to be a staple. Got to fade Sheffield Wednesday every single week. 12 straight losses, 9-0, 1 win on the season. Derby County Lane, 1.5, Saturday afternoon against Sheffield Wednesday. Good luck.
Back at you, Paulie. All right, recapping last night. Yeah, I never understood the move against Detroit Mercy. Back down to a pick'em before tip-off, and absolutely manhandled their opponent. That was a winner. Robert Morris got there as well. They pulled away in the second half. The one loser was SMU against Miami, and Miami controlled that entire game. The new stuff, I'm throwing a wrinkle into the this always seems like a good idea, right? Screw with something that's been a moneymaker, but here's my moneyline parlay tonight. Magic, Heat, Suns, Rockets against Golden State. That pays +119. Pelicans do not qualify. They're not tanking, so I'm not going to... I could actually make a case for them to beat the Kings, but I don't know who's going to be playing in that game yet. Status unknown, Murphy, Zion. If they both play, I'm pretty confident they're going to win the game. But they're not going to get involved at this point, so I'll go to bat with those four. The Warriors absolutely stink out loud right now. So fading that team. There you have it.
You're going to put this Hawaii game. I think I'd like the over here too tonight too, because Burke's got a good write-up on this game that this is it for Riverside, and they'll treat it like a vacation. But they're on an 11-1 over run their team total. So certainly you're going to treat it like a vacation, but why not go out there, have some fun? What the hell, right?
Sure. He had a great breakdown on the website and earlier with us. So what about this for an idea?
Their team total 67.5, 11-1 overrun, and he likes Hawaii Lane a bunch tonight in the get-out game.
So on a money line parlay, Hawaii, North Dakota State, they're laying a huge number against Oral Roberts, who played last night. Northern Iowa, they're 15-point favorites against Evansville. Then you tie in the Suns, the Rockets, and the Heat. It pays +115. It's a six-legger, just like two nights ago.
I'm down.
What could possibly go wrong, Paul?
Download the free Upside app, promo code NETWORK. Start earning real cash back on gas, groceries, and dining. Just open the Upside app, claim a cash back offer to a location near you, shop as usual, and then earn real cash back. It's that easy. With over 5 million users already earning, one of the easiest ways to save on everyday purchases, you cash out directly to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards. Download the free Upside app now, code NETWORK. Get 25 cents back per gallon on your first tank. Offers vary by user and location. Stuff you buy every day. Use it, head to the location, make your purchase and save. Your earnings your way. Groceries, gas, and dining. Upside.com for details. Get the Upside app. It's getting good now. It really starts tomorrow because you have a lot of early games in the morning. You have the quarters of Arch Madness. You have the semis late of the Ohio Valley. You got more games out here with the West Coast.
All right.
Our first bid goes out Saturday. There are 4 bids Sunday, and then next week's chaos. And as I always say, next Friday is the best day of the season when all the big boys are out, and usually get most of these guys playing semifinal games.
Well, the Thursday-Friday combo is so good.
Yeah. I'd take those 2 days, Thursday, Friday.
Over the first 4 days of the madness.
Well, I'll go first 2 days.
Okay.
Four strong. But
okay.
Also, thanks. We knew that... the Pac-12, the new league next year, will get an automatic bid. It looks like they're going to play their conference tournament out here.
They probably then, should.
Yeah, it's a good move.
They know that Gonzaga travels as well as anybody.
I was asking what happens to the WAC. They're only down to 7 teams, and then thus would the at-large pool shrink by 1, because we're adding another AQ with the new Pac-12, which will be only, you'll have a true round robin with how they're going to do it. They'll play every team in conference home and away. So that's what's unfortunate. No more Gonzaga St. Mary's after next week, if they play. I think they meet in the final. Right. But a good point by Seth Greenberg. Let's keep that game going.
You remember when you fell in love with college basketball? Was there like one specific moment? I brought up how when Patino took over Kentucky and watching
I love those UNLV teams.
Oh, they were unbelievable.
With Larry Johnson and Stacey Augmon.
And I love the 80s as well. And it also helped. Again, I had two older brothers who loved the sport. And everybody stayed until their senior year. And it was so good. This is a good email from Mike in Connecticut. Nolan Richardson's 40 Minutes of Hell in the 90s, must-watch TV. It absolutely was. And I remember that's when, like, the Deuce debuted. I think it was back in the early to mid-90s, and they would put random college basketball games that should be, like, on the network on ESPN2, and Arkansas and Kentucky would play, and Kentucky would always have different uniforms, and it just looked awesome on TV, and they would play in, like, the early 90s, and it would be, hey, it's on the Deuce tonight. And like Roderick Rhodes playing for Kentucky and Corliss Williamson and Alex Dillard, I think. Alex or Alec Dillard for Arkansas would go bombs away from like 28 feet. And those games would be like in the 90s, if I recall. It was just it's so good. And that's we got into this argument a couple years ago when Zion was playing at Duke. And odds makers were asked, what would you make this Duke team against like the 90s UNLV team? And odds makers said between like 9.5 or 12 point favorites, Duke would be against UNLV. And you and I were screaming.
Yeah.
There's no way teams like that would be favored against the 90s UNLV squad or those Kentucky teams. Those were men, and they stayed 3 or 4 years was the argument that we had.
Mm-hmm. What's your first memory? Mine is the Keith Smart shot.
Oh, that's very good.
That's the first time I remember sitting down and watching a big-time college basketball game, and that's...
I remember...
I don't know what year it was, but I remember Send It In Jerome.
Sure.
When he broke the backboard in the rim.
That was great. I remember the Big East of the 80s with Patrick Ewing.
Yes.
And like, oh man, I loved St. John's with Chris Mullin and Walter Berry and Syracuse, Pearl Washington.
Oh my God.
And
that
those
one
teams.
Year, I loved Georgetown growing up. And I was just, they were so good with Iverson. They had Alonzo Mourning and Dikembe Mutombo on the same team.
Think about that.
They were an 8 seed because their guard play sucked. Yeah. Joey Brown was their guard, their point guard. They played UNLV in the second round.
Yeah.
I
remember.
You got Mourning, Mutombo, Larry Johnson, Augmon. That's a second round game.
My brother graduated from boot camp in Fort Knox, Kentucky. So my mom and dad and I, we drove down for that weekend. And then we stayed like in around the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee. And I remember being at it must have been like a motel somewhere in Tennessee with my dad watching probably like on an 18-inch TV or something like that. We watched Princeton together in a random motel in Tennessee almost beat Georgetown the full game.
Oh, yeah.
Like that one sticks with me.
Vital, yeah. Vital did a handstand, stood on his head. Illinois lost. Was it Coppin State or somebody?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody got him, yeah.
Oh, those Princeton teams. To this day, probably the best coach teams I've ever seen with what they were up against. And then when they beat UCLA, the defending champs, as a 4 seed, and just the backdoor cuts and the discipline, it was like, oh, and then we'd skip school to go watch the first couple of days. It's like, oh, my God, this is as good as it gets.
That's when you really loved your mom, when she would call you out sick. No, he's watching the tournament. Paul can't make it today. It was excellent.
Yeah.
Harrison Barnes' 4-year-long run of consecutive games played ended. He woke up with a sore left ankle after taking a nap.
How does that happen?
He's with the medical staff. Hope it's nothing serious. This can't be.
He's got the Jimmy legs?
This can't be. Neck, of course, makes
neck,
sense.
No doubt.
I can't play after my consecutive long streak of 4 years. I woke up with a sore left ankle, bad nap.
Okay. Well, you said this off the air. You said this sounds as fishy as a Sammy Sosa with a sneezing injury.
Yeah, you went on a DL, bad sneeze.
That one I can relate to. I'm a very hard sneezer.
And you're a violent sneezer?
Violent sneezer, and I can sneeze like 6-7 times in a row, and it absolutely kills.
Yeah, you can go. Yeah.
It hurts. Yeah. I think a person could die from like sneezing 8-10 times in a row. Like that viciously.
You know what? I hate to say it. The last time my antenna was up like this was Tiger Woods around Thanksgiving. What are they peddling? She broke the glass with a driver?
That
what?
Was the most obvious BS thing of all time. Primetime's next. Murray Humans will take you through the entire night. Live betting, college basketball, the NBA. And you can wake up early tomorrow with VSiN by the books. Good luck tonight.